Welcome to the Honesty Talks podcast. I am so glad you are joining the conversation today. I hope that you will dig deep with us, think honestly, and allow God to challenge us. As we explore, it is my hope that we grow and see more together. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Honesty podcast. And right now we are actually going to be doing a series of everyday devotionals for counting the Omer in this season between Easter, Passover, Easter, Shavuot, and Pentecost. So there's this period of time that in the Jewish tradition they count what is called the Omer. And today to help, actually for the next couple weeks, I have Jessica with me here, Jessica Larrabee, to help us walk through this every day for the next 3 weeks. So I'm going to hand it over to Jessica to say hi and actually explain what is an Omer.
Hi, yes. I would like to state that the Omer is 7 weeks, but we are starting in already at week 5, so we'll be doing the last 3 weeks of it. And the reason that we're okay with already starting halfway through is because an Omer is the amount that will fill you spiritually. So it is the perfect amount that will give you how much you need, and it will last for how long you need it. So no matter where you start, enter into it, you will still get what you need out of counting the Omer and sitting in what it means and reflecting with God on what the Omer will bring to you.
Awesome. And the historical reference to the Omer is, first it's used in Exodus to refer to the amount of manna taken every day. So that's kind of the spiritual filling that you're talking about.
Yes.
And historically, it was used to count down the days from Passover to when the people gathered around Mount Sinai in the Old Testament. And this throughout time, also when the temple was operational, built, they used this period of time from Passover until Shavuot, which is first fruits, to count grain offerings and what they would offer to God, their first fruits.
Yes, and the first use is in Exodus 16, and that is something we like to do a lot, is look at where's the first use in the Bible. So that is where we get the definition from, is related to counting the manna. And it also relates to if you count the Omer, but then try to hoard it and control it for yourself, it becomes rotten and stinks, which is what happens if they tried to keep the manna for too long. So it is the balance of holding what God has given you, but not trying to control it.
Awesome. And there is a lot of historical references too, of like counting the Omer is, in history, it was an agricultural society. And so offering first fruits of their harvest was a big deal because it was everything that they did. It was how they lived. They grew all of their own food, and they offered the first fruits of that to God. And the Omer, in where it first shows up in scripture, the word Omer, using to count, is in Exodus, but it's in the spiritual sense of counting the amount of manna God provided for the people. And so that's how that is like hooking together, that there's this, it is really the spiritual context in what we are counting in ourselves and leading up to being at the mountain of God with the people of God. And also, what are we offering during this time frame in first fruits? And then following the Mount Sinai in first fruits time is Pentecost. It's like a couple days after that and the coming of the Holy Spirit. And that all these things, like the timelines that don't happen all at once, they happen through time, are not happening on accident.
Correct, yes. And when we look at Exodus 16, it says, it is enough to fill your head and your soul. So it's really emphasizing on God's provision being enough for you physically, but also being enough for you spiritually, mentally, and just really how you inhabit the space with time and trusting that God's provision will continue to come.
And also with the historical context of offering grain, it's also the work of your hands is what's needed to be surrendered to God too. It isn't just about taking, there's a relationship. I think that the historical and, well, they're both historical because manna happened way before offering of grain, but like throughout time, that there's a both.
And I think it teaches us how to hold the passing of time better. Like, we are just leaving Passover, which is about what are you leaving during this season? And then it teaches us how to be mindful with our time as we move forward and as we're leaving out of this space, and just the intentionality of being present with God so we don't go back into the narrow place that we just left.
Mm. And for those of you who are listening and might not know what Passover is about, to give you a little background, Passover is 7-8 days long, and it is a whole week. And we celebrate during this time the exodus of the people from Egypt. And Egypt in the Hebrew is Mitzrayim, and Mitzrayim means narrow place. So there is a large spiritual truth to every year at Passover. We are looking at what are the narrow places that we have become slaves to. We work worshiping, serving other things other than God that we need to leave in mm-hmm. life. And those can be spiritual realities, and they can also be physical realities. They can be jobs, relationships, things we believe about ourselves that we need to leave. So in this season where we've identified things to leave, counting the Omer is then a way to be more intentional and present with yourself and to not fall back into those patterns mm-hmm. and really to make space for growth and what God brings. So as we are making this journey and counting the Omer, there is a structure and how we meditate on this and count it every day. And it involves prayers and a structure. So I'm going to let Jessica explain the structure of counting the Omer.
Yes, there are 7 different themes, and each week has its own theme, and each day has its own theme. And so you sit in what the weekly meaning is overall, as well as you sit in what the daily meaning is and how that plays a part into the weekly meaning.
So how it intersects. Awesome. And there's, when we're doing this, there's room for whatever God is speaking to you as you are counting mm-hmm. and those weekly themes and daily themes, how they intersect. There'll be things that God points out to you that really stick with you. And really, it's a practice of hearing.
Mm-hmm. Hearing where God is leading you and what you need, because what Trin might need is different from what I need and what I'm going to get out of the counting.
So we want this to be a richness of space that's provided as we count the Omer, that there's room for individually we're going to encounter that differently.
Mm-hmm.
And so we just hope that you get a lot of richness out of these devotionals. We're going to share how we both interact with it, which is very different, and that there's room for how God may be moving in you in the counting of the Omer mm-hmm. as well.
So today is April 26th after sunset, and we are in the second day of the Hod week. So we are still sitting in splendor, glory, empathy, humility, service, and surrender. And that again is the color lavender.
And the day is the thing that switches. And so we are in the day of Gevura, which is strength, judgment, discernment, justice, restraint, and the discipline of setting boundaries within restraint.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that color is red. So what are your thoughts about the Gevura of Hod?
Yeah. When I'm just looking at the Gevura, what stuck out to me right away is restraint and justice, and like setting boundaries and justice. Like, I feel like people don't put those words together very much, that like when you set boundaries, it creates justice. And especially just the time we're sitting in right now, like that word is getting thrown around a lot. So it's just, what is the splendor of justice and the splendor of glory and empathy of justice and the justice of humility? Like, I get, that's what's really sticking out to me when I'm sitting in this.
Mm. I think in Gevura,
mm-hmm.
what is always stuck out to me, I think this year, because of what God's been teaching me,
mm-hmm.
is the discipline of setting boundaries
mm-hmm.
And the strength that exhibits. Like, I think when we go to set boundaries, healthy boundaries,
mm-hmm.
I always get the thought of like that it's not strength.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that I'm like sometimes doing something wrong.
Yeah.
Or feel guilty. But really, it is strong to set healthy boundaries, and it is better for yourself and other people. So, like, I'm really in the boundary setting and justice, and restraint.
And that's
and that those things are strength.
Yeah, I think the boundary can go with the strength. It can go with judgment. Like, you have to make the judgment and discernment of what boundaries are best for you. But then I know, at least when I set boundaries, sometimes I'm worried about, like, oh, what are people going to think because I set this boundary and this is what I need. But that doesn't mean other people are going to perceive it well. So it's just the surrender even that it takes of myself to set that boundary and do what is best for me.
Ooh, and she just brought in the hold right there with the surrender of the week that we're sitting in, the hold, the splendor, glory, empathy, humility, service, and surrender. It's like what you have to surrender for those boundaries. That was good.
Mm-hmm.
That was good right there. That was real time, y'all. Real time. And I think of, like, what you have to surrender to practice restraint. I'm sorry. As a person of color in this time, I think I got to surrender a lot.
Absolutely.
Restrain some things.
And as a white person, the humility of it for me. Like, this isn't my, this is my time to make sure other people are listening, but it's not my time to voice it.
And I think as a, I would say, not African-American person of color. To hold the tension of, like, I know the pain of the minority experience, but I don't know the pain of the Black experience.
Yes.
And to hold my brothers and sisters of all different types of color takes, like, I still need to hold them as, like, I'm not Black.
Yeah.
And I need the humility there as well to be like, I'm a minority, but I'm not Black. And so I think that's a super important piece of, like, how we walk through the world, especially today. Like,
absolutely. I mean,
especially coming out of the week that the verdict was given. We're in Minnesota.
Yep.
We are in the epicenter of all the a lot of this has been happening, like, on Minnesota is the kind of, like, this is where it's happening, folks. And it's not that it's happening, it's happening everywhere, but, like, we're the ones that it's, like, on display right now.
All eyes on us.
Yeah, and that's difficult. But, like, with the Omer, I'm thinking about these things. And I'm just thinking about the restraint and strength that God has shown to us that is God's splendor and glory and empathy toward us.
Absolutely. And that's, for me, I'm looking at discernment and service of just making sure that I am coming in with open ears and an open heart to listen to just the pain that is being felt in minority communities and the Black community, and just really surrendering myself, but even surrendering to the point of service. Like, what can I do to help? What can I do to continue and further this conversation and to make sure that people are feeling seen and heard and just know that, like, we are working together towards justice?
That was so good, because we just got off of a race of righteousness conversation today, where we are committed to learning. And that learning is translating into what are we doing in our everyday lives, and then also what are we doing as a community. And I just think that was so good, like, the service piece with the like, I'm surrendering, and the humility, and then what am I doing? Because I think I voiced a little strongly today that I'm, like, sick of allies that drop out when it gets hard.
Absolutely. I think we're both sick of that. I mean, I get mad about it, and I'm a white person, like, of just getting so mad at people being like, oh, I'm here for you, let me know what you need, and then you let them know what you need and they don't even show up, and they're like, but let me know what you need. It's like, she just told you what she needs and you're still not here.
But at the same time, I'm like, I expect it. I expect that you're only going to show up for me when it's convenient for you.
Yep.
And in the racial areas, that comes a lot quicker than I want to tell you I care about you, and I want to show you what I we're there, what do you tell me what you need. When I ask you, it's almost like a, okay, I can't do that, but let me know what you need.
It's a let me know what you need that will fit into my comfortability box as a white person.
And I'm like, I ain't gonna mess with that.
And that's where I feel like as a white person, it's my job to call out other white people who are doing that. And that is a part of my service of being like, you're saying this, but your actions aren't following through with it because she has told you and you're still not showing up. Mm-hmm. And that's my area to talk because you shouldn't have to continue to bug people.
Well, and I think like, I mean, I know those of you who are like, oh my goodness, racial conversations again, mm-hmm. and we're supposed to be talking about spiritual things. Like if we're not willing to work for the equality and the dignity and not even just dignity, but the imago Dei mm-hmm. in Christian terms, but the image of God
yep.
in every person,
mm-hmm.
regardless of race, gender, socioeconomic status, disability, non-disability, it doesn't matter. Like mm-hmm. if we're not working toward that, what are we doing?
Exactly.
So, and what does God think about that? Like mm-hmm. how are we seeing each other in humanity? How are we then coming to God? And because God's asking us to do stuff. Like mm-hmm. God's asking us to sit in empathy. Like
mm-hmm.
right now we got to take that in context because we're like living in this time now. Where is my empathy, my discernment and my judgment and my empathy? Like, am I really empathizing or am I sympathizing?
Mm.
Like, am I saying I feel bad for you, which is sympathy, not I feel bad, I'm going to be with you.
Yep.
I'm not going to tap out.
That's huge.
Mm-hmm. When it gets hard, because God doesn't tap out with us.
Nope.
God didn't say, oh, humanity's so broken and disconnected with me and all of this brokenness is in the world. God didn't tap out.
Mm-hmm.
God is with us.
And that's what I really like about the Omer is like, as we continue counting, it still builds on. So what all of the weeks we've already counted are still valid. So it's like, yes, we're sitting in the empathy, humility, the strength, the glory, but it's also still a part of the loving kindness of God and the unconditional love.
Mm. Yep. And right now we're like, what's the strength in empathy?
Mm-hmm.
Like when I sit there and I think we're in hold and we're in the empathy for the week, strength, glory, empathy, humility, service, surrender, like empathy specifically. And then we're in Gevura,
mm-hmm.
which is the strength, judgment, discernment, justice, discipline. Like, what is the strength in my empathy?
Ooh, yep.
Oh, that's
mm-hmm.
that's different, right? I'm sitting in empathy all week. What is the strength in it?
Mm.
What is the judgment in it? What is the discernment in it? But really, what there's strength in the empathy? What is my strength in the empathy? Like, that's a strength, because I think some people treat empathy as like weakness. I don't want to feel with you. I want to feel bad for you
mm-hmm.
because I want to separate myself because I don't want to do that.
Or even humility. Like, I need to be the best. I need to be at the top. I can't humble myself. And so that there's strength in humility even, like.
And even just how humility and empathy are in the hold together and mm-hmm. they're related.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you got to be humble enough to express empathy.
And that there's glory in that.
Oh.
Like, the fact that all of these are related and most people don't put these words together.
I'm going to say that'll preach and that'll teach.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, I'm a person who looks at the colors. So, like, I'm looking at Gevura means red. And, like, most people think of red and they think of, like, anger and bad. But it's, like, this is teaching us that red is a symbol of strength. It's a symbol of justice. It's a symbol of discipline and boundaries and, like, that it's not red as bad, but red is really a symbol of strength and the power with it.
Mm, that's really good. Mm. And I also think, like, because I'm sitting in the discipline of boundaries, it just keeps smacking me in the face.
Mm-hmm.
What is the service of setting boundaries?
Mm.
Like, for personally, like, mm-hmm. if we escape, like, you know, sorry, my brain goes in many different directions at once, so I'm sorry, but I'm not sorry. But it's like, I'm sitting in the service and the surrender
mm-hmm.
of setting boundaries, the discipline of setting boundaries. What am I serving
and
by
how,
setting boundaries?
And how can you better serve others by setting healthy boundaries?
Right. And what do I have to surrender myself to set boundaries?
Mm-hmm.
And some of that is like, if I have a hard time setting boundaries, what I'm surrendering is usually probably really unhealthy junk.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's preventing me from being able to set healthy boundaries.
Yep. And it's not always easy to see what you need to surrender. And it's not always to surrender because usually you're doing it for a reason. So you have to go out of your way, almost like overdo it the first time to get in that habit and that routine of actually holding that boundary.
Mm, that's good. And honestly, like, since we're sitting in HOD, mm-hmm. just splendor, glory, empathy, humility, service, surrender.
Mm-hmm.
Where's my discernment in that?
Mm.
Like, where's my discernment in my empathy? Because sometimes you can get wrapped up. Like, you can feel so much with somebody that you lose yourself. Because
mm-hmm.
there's cons all sides here.
Absolutely.
Because it's about balance. And where's my discernment and humility and my discernment in, like, what I'm doing in my service, and what's my discernment in what I'm surrendering, and how does that interplay with, like, splendor and glory?
Mm.
That there's great splendor and glory and discernment.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you, like, take time to discern what God is saying, rather than, because I feel like it's easy to rush.
Mm-hmm. And just the amount of intentionality that is needed to discern each of those things. Like, discernment takes so much intentionality of being present both with yourself, but also being present with God, that to sit in that intentionality really just creates an entire different aspect of life that you're living out of.
Mm. And for, like, I mean, sorry, my brain's going back somewhere, but, like, I'm going to justice too, of, like, what is the splendor and glory of justice?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Like, and what is God's splendor and glory of justice?
Which often is not the same as what we consider.
What we consider, I think, falls short.
Yep. Absolutely.
And so how do we work toward justice?
And even going back to, if the image of God is in everyone, regardless of who you are, and if that image of God is also in us, and we are all brothers and sisters in God, then can we see the reflection of ourselves in other people through mm-hmm. that image of God?
Well, and can we see, like, the divine?
Mm-hmm.
Not only in ourselves, but also in another person.
Yep.
And how would that actually impact how you treat people?
Mm-hmm.
And how you treat God?
Absolutely.
The divineness in each and every person you come across. I think that's a big deal.
Yeah, I think that's, I mean, the perfect place to end it is really just sitting in, being intentional with how you interact with each person by seeing the divineness of God in them.
Mm, the splendor and glory.
The strength and the splendor and glory.
We hope you have enjoyed this, and blessings on you all. I hope today's conversation has been deep and transformative. Please consider becoming a Patreon supporter to help us continue and expand the Honesty Talks podcast. When you are a Patreon supporter, you will get to be a part of our online community. You can also get other great things like early access to episodes, participating in polls, and making suggestions on future podcast topics, and so much more. For more information and to donate, go to patreon.com/honesty_talks. Thank you for listening, and join us next time.